Blog Talk Radio.
If I keep my eyes open, I will see my dreams. If I keep my foundation and if I believe, I will see my enemies fall in front of me. Oh my God, your plans are so great, and I don't even know what to say to get my followers ready for this promise. I don't even know what's about to take place. Oh my God, I got this fire out the furnace. Don't touch, cause I'm burning on purpose. Ain't need a license for the drive, man, I got off with a permit. Like you better earn it, boy. I ain't tryna impress nobody.
Praise God, praise God. Follow your dreams. That was Sister Kayla Starks. We have a special treat this morning, so we're getting on into our programming. We're going to say our prayer, have our scripture, and go forward. Amen. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for Jesus, our Christian, over in poetry, as we are in Poetry Month, and we are approaching our fifth year of broadcasting by your grace, God, and by your mercy. I just give you the glory. I give you all the honor. I give you all the praise. And just thank you, Lord, for being with all our listeners over these years and all our guests, and especially today with our brother T.K. Ware as our special interview. In Jesus' name, amen and praise God. Amen and praise God. We always come from that scripture, amen. We have that specific scripture that blesses us each time from the book of Acts, and it's Acts 17, praise God, Acts 17 and 28, that we always come from this scripture because it speaks too much, so much of what we've tried to bring out over the years, amen, and God has been so faithful to us, amen. And so as that scripture reads, it says, For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. We are the offspring of God. God has his poets. Amen. And that's what we are featuring right now. Brother TK, amen. And we're going to go right into our interview with him. Praise God. Glory to his name. Amen. Praise God. Welcome on today's programming, Jesus Child. And we have a very special guest. He's been with us before, Brother T.K. Ware. And I'm just going to have him go ahead and introduce himself, tell a little bit about himself, and share what's on his heart starting out, right out the gates here. Amen.
Amen. Amen. My name is, of course, T.K. Ware, and for those who are familiar with my writing through social media, you know, I am a Christian author. I've made the bestsellers list, you know, but those things, and won an award, those things do not really amount to anything to me as far as I'm not high-minded by it. I'm simply a vessel in which the Lord endowed with a gift. But even more so, I'm also an usher at my church. I'm president over the men's department. You know, I am a youth minister. You know, so my whole agenda, even in writing, is to just touch others, to share the gift. and to expose them to the light, which is Christ. So, you know, I've won awards and so many accolades, but I guess you can sum it all up, and I'm just a humble vessel which he used. You know, a lot of people follow me through social media, Instagram, and whatever outlet. My message is always the same: empowerment, encouragement, and uplifting.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And awesome, awesome. Before we go any further, I had messaged you this week. We were speaking on social media about your name. If you could tell everybody what TK stands for and give a little bit of the meaning behind the TK in your name, okay?
All right. Well, when we first started writing, when the Lord first asked me to write, and we began to, you know, write, and one thing about a gift, once you are exposed to knowledge, then it enhances the gift. And my entire name, that would be too much to put on the book, because my name is Kashambi, which a lot of people don't know. You know, even who are in my immediate circle, my name is Kashambi Kentrell Ware, and Kashambi is African descent, and it actually means precious stone. Then my middle name means royal chieftain. So I can only hope that my mother really knew, but I don't think she knew the impact in which that name, because throughout my entire life, I've been different. Not in a sense of being a black sheep, but my whole life, my whole walk has been different. Even the transition from darkness to light, my whole life has been different, as if I were a precious stone, which is the embodiment of my name. And so as even now, I am not a, you know, I don't hang around a whole lot of people, never did back then. So the essence of that name followed with me, and it's only until I became mature that I truly understood that name and its value. And I used to hate it when I was younger because of the spelling. People would mess it all up. But now I appreciate the name, because every name that a child is given, and they will grow up into that name, if whether it's good or bad. They will show implements of that name. So you have to be careful what you name the child, especially these type of spiritual names carry. So the Shambi, which a lot of people don't know, it means precious soul, and there's a whole lot of other meanings and a whole lot of things, but the gist of everything is precious soul, and it also means value.
Amen. Praise God. Yes, I thought that it was appropriate, because we're talking about you, you know, your gifting, your talents as a writer, as an author, poet, and definitely, and words are important to people who write, of course, and if words are important to God, because he spoke so much into existence with words, and he's given us his Bible, he's given us his word, the scripture, and so I thought it was appropriate, and definitely how, you know, our name that, you know, calls us to rise to occasions, what God has really placed in us. And so it's truly important to, as you said, what you name your child. Now, getting back a little bit more into the writing, and what currently has God been speaking through you, the different projects, and, you know, how he's moving, you know, spiritually through your gifts and talents. Amen.
All right. Well, see, one thing, and every time I publish a book or even some type of writing, sometimes I scribble on pad or even in my phone, I am like a 10-year-old receiving a birthday gift. You know, because there are a lot of people who went to school for writing, and they, you know, studied and different things, and there are a lot of people who've been writing all their lives and all their life, and I started writing the moment I accepted Christ into my life. That is when I started writing. Prior to that, I never wrote. I didn't even like reading. So, when he endowed me with his gift, and I took off running and began to write poetry. And the first novel I wrote was a one about. It was a touching novel, because it is about people dying. This guy saw all of his friends die, and they all went to hell. And each friend wrote a letter from hell. And when the last person died, and the last letter was received, the guy woke up out of the vision, and he's sitting in the church. And he sees all his friends alive. So Now he's trying to save them from what he saw in the vision. And that book was so intense that I literally shed tears as the Lord dropped the vision before me as I was writing scenes about hell, you know. And I've seen, you know, images, so on and so forth, but I actually felt the characters, and I pushed away from the from my desk, and tears streamed down because of the intense of what I was feeling. And people have been blessed by that. And from there, we begin to write whatever the spirit tells, and we go from poetry. So I can tell when that part of my personality has stepped forth, from poetry to novels. But all of the novels, they all have a subliminal gospel message, whether it's faith, whether it's heaven, whether it's hell, whether it's encouragement, forgiveness. Each book I've written can be summarized up through a gospel message. And the two upcoming books that we have coming out, we have one on my birthday, which is May the 9th, called Trial of Injustice, and it's about this preacher who framed for murder. And so the whole message in this novel is trust. Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. This pastor was dragged out of his house and arrested for first-degree murder. He was framed, and there were so many different elements within this novel that it is a page-turner, but it also is one that will increase your faith to see this man going through so much turmoil, going through so much pain, and going through so much evil, and there's so much corruption that this pastor has to literally trust not only in God, but even the words he preached to others. And we also have a poetry book entitled Kingdom Poets. And this one is a poetry book that would be the expression of coming into your inheritance. You know, we are kingdom saints, and it is time for us to take our rightful place. So this is entirely about empowerment. And I forgot about one other one with inspirational author and best-selling author, my daughter Marie, and it's called Triumph. But I have those three projects that are coming out within the next 2 weeks, and they, to summarize them all up, is trust and empowerment. And, you know, I can put the gospel on all three of the books, and I never know what he's going to write, but right now, the Lord has me resting right up in those three. And once he reads those, I have no idea what's next.
Amen. Praise God. Those sound exciting. Sound faith-stirring. Sound like, you know, definitely God is reaching hearts, touching minds, edifying the body of Christ, and even, you know, to reach out to those who have yet to confess the name of Jesus. And I know that is always, that's, you know, the last kind of like what Jesus left behind for us. When he said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples, you know, teaching them, baptizing them, and something, you know, that we should carry as Christians, we should carry that around in us, that, yeah, that's what my Lord wants. That's what, you know, I, whatever gifts and talents he wants me to definitely have a focus and my attention towards some aspect of reaching others. And I mentioned kind of to you earlier before, you know, we even, you know, came on that about, you know, seeing you're reaching that, you do, you know, things that will reach others, such as, I believe you're at a college campus just recently.
Yes.
So how, you know, when you're doing that type of ministry, what type of response or what kind of advice do you give others to, you know, to channel their gifts and talents in those areas? Definitely, because we know that's part of our Great Commission, and that's on the Lord's heart.
All right. Well, for one thing that I have been impressed with is, some time ago I read a quote, and it said, every saint was once a sinner. And when I see words, other doors open within the crevices of my mind, and Lord begins to speak to me. And so everyone has overcome something in life. And so whenever you're dealing with people who are not of your level, whether it's by faith or even in the household of faith, you know, you have some babies in Christ, you have to always drop down your guard, because sometimes we can enter an atmosphere and begin to judge because he or she does not look like us, does not sing like us, does not pray like us. and they're doing things that we deem as that's not godly. But yet, they have to come to a certain place so then that individual can look back. So when I had the privilege to go out to university, and you know, we were in the midst of some believers and some of them were not, and I didn't go there with a judgmental spirit. I knew even when Jesus walked, Jesus went and he sat with those who the Pharisees and Sadducees deemed unworthy. And so they called Jesus so many names because he hung around the prophets. He hung around prostitutes and even the woman at the well, the adulterer. He hung around people who were deemed not of value, but yet he did not come to them and condemn them, but he brought them to a certain place so they can understand and see their own way, you know, shed the light on them so they can, so their eyes can open. So when I go into an atmosphere, whenever you go into an atmosphere of people who are not of faith, then we have to come down and come to their level. And Apostle Paul said, when I was in Rome, I did as the Romans, meaning that he became as the people to reach them. Because I can come where you are and take you to where you have to go, as long as I don't look down on you as if I'm higher or better than you. Because Scripture says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I enter every atmosphere, and I will encourage everyone, whenever you're dealing with people, drop the judgment and remember that this individual is not where you are. And you want for where they were. Maybe not on that extent, but in some fashion or another.
Amen. Praise God. And, yep, and the Apostle Paul said, yeah, that he became all things to all people. And definitely that was the, that's how Jesus carried himself. Just as you explained, he carried himself like, you know, he didn't come to seek the, you know, to say the right. He came for the law. He came for those that he hung out with. And, and he came with, you know, I've come to save. You know, you confess, you believe in me. I've come to save, not to continue or anything like that. And the word, as the word tells us, that is the reason he came, and that's the reason we should go when he sends us. Amen. The same attitude as our Lord Jesus Christ. And awesome. Thank you for sharing that. That's really good advice. That is really good advice. Amen. For us all, as we go and we try to reach others for the kingdom, building up the kingdom. Yeah. And did you have anything specific, like the poem or something you want to share, or reading from one of the books coming out? Or
I have one, and it's I was excited. It's from the upcoming one, Kingdom Poets. You know, and it's entitled "Oh Gracious King." I trust in thee, O Lord, who is able to meet all my expectations. My thoughts are but whispers running across his mind. O gracious King, my joy yet remains because of you. Every trial and tribulation I face, I know that it's only sent my way to equip me with the experience as those are added to my pyramid of hope and faith. When I look back and see how far I've come, I know it's because of your love and grace. And when I was debilitated with sorrow, your love and grace pulled me into tomorrow and lifted me high above all the problems, situations, circumstances, heartaches, disappointments, resentments, frustrations, and trials. In my weakness, your strength is made known. I stand in humility as an obedient child. I walk by faith and not by sight. I have an assurance and realization that I am never alone, for I abide in the light. You have never failed nor forsaken me. Provision you have provided daily. Healing you have sent. Deliverance has been decreed. As I transition from a son who trusts in thee, O gracious King. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for that, Sharon. Yes, definitely. God is gracious. And the thought just kind of came to my mind. We're talking about reaching others. And you just read that poem. What would be something you would say right after that poem that you feel like the Spirit of the Lord would just, you know, to lead you to maybe plant a seed? It might be planting a seed, watering a seed, and somebody there. But what would you say after reading that?
Well, the first thing, as I was reading as he was speaking, my mind went back to when I had the opportunity to go and feed animals, which is something new to me, because I'm from the city and hanging out with a lot of elders at the church. I was had the opportunity to feed some of the animals, sheep and cows and hogs and so on and so forth. And I sat there and watched, you know, some of the hogs, the pigs, and they were just wallowing in the mud, and they loved it. And from that moment, you know, the Lord spoke to me and showed me something. That we as Christians, or even if you're not a Christian, you know, if you're trying to, you know, make a change, if, you know, transition, the problem that comes in is when, like a pig wallows in mud, when we make a mistake, we sit there and we just soak in that mistake and feel as if God hates us and that he's thinking evil of us. When the scripture says that he's not even thinking evil of us, Jesus said, my thoughts, I know the thoughts that I think toward thee, they are thoughts of peace and not of evil. And so we sit there in that mistake, wallowing in it. And what happens is, Satan, the adversary, the devil, he comes and he convicts. I'm sorry, he condemns, because God convicts. Conviction is when he shows you you're wrong and gives you space to repent so you can turn from it. But Satan condemns you in that state and makes you feel less than who you are. Even if you are a Christian, makes you feel as if you're not a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, makes you feel as if you'll never be able to get God's approval. So the individual sits there, feeling as if, you know, why even bother? So they begin to go in a reversing state, and in a long period of time, their mind turns to reprobate. So mistakes will come. Mistakes will happen. Even for those who have walked the journey a long way, mistakes will happen. There are no big sins and little sins. We, as human beings, like to categorize this sin is bigger than the other. There are no big and little sins. Everything to God is sin. If it's outside of the will of God, then it is labeled or identified as sin. And so when we make a mistake, the scripture says we have an advocate with the Father. And so it is because of his death, burial, and resurrection that we can access forgiveness. And once you access forgiveness, then you turn from that thing. You turn. If I'm getting burnt by fire and the fire is over in the left, I'm not going to keep going that way. So when you repent, you actually literally turn away from that thing. You know, scripture says turn away from that, so that sin that easily besets you. So it is in that turning that you begin to shift, and you move away from that mistake. So what if it happens again? A mistake that happens again is there's no crutch to just give up on God. And so Paul said that we're striving. You know, I'm striving for the mark. So every day is a day of faith. So I would encourage everyone to don't count the mistakes you make, but keep your eyes set on the Lord and trust in him and acknowledge him. He'll give you, he'll direct your path, because you can make a mistake and sit there and miss an opportunity to not only witness, but to be an empowerment, not only by the Lord, but to others. So as we live this life, and mistakes will come, we have to turn from it. Understand what true repentance is. Because you turn from it, don't run back to it. Turn from it. And as the pig wallows in his mud, don't allow that mistake to have you, to condemn you in that state, where you feel as if you're less than who you are. And the scripture says, therefore, in Romans 8, therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. And to walk after the flesh is that carnal mind. So it's not the skin, but it's that, and that's the way, the old way of thinking. So we have to shift, change our thoughts, and the body will follow.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Ware. Thank you so much for coming on. It seems like these times just go by so fast. But it's so much. I think that, I don't think it's the quantity of time, it's the quality. And so,
yes.
And I do appreciate it, you know, all that you've shared on today. Just wanted you to, you know, share any way that people can contact you as far as social media and things like that. And maybe, you know, final scripture to close this out.
All right. Well, everyone can find me through Facebook, CK Ware. You can go to LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the only social media that has my entire name with my first name, Kishambi Ware. And with Instagram and Twitter, it's @GospelWriter8. And you don't have to worry about seeing any ill-advised pictures or anything of that sort on any of one of those sites. Everything is inspired. I never sit and wonder, okay, what am I going to write today? I only write when I'm inspired, and it's a chord, and I don't know what I'm going to write. So you can find me on those places. You can Google the name TK Ware, go to Amazon, you go into the bookstore, at, you know, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and you also can go to my website, www.tk-ware.com. And one description that speaks highly to me and often overlooked. Everybody knows John 3:16. But Revelation 3:16. And it speaks of, and it says, Jesus is talking, he's talking to the church over in that area. But those, that particular scripture speaks broadly and says, well, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out. And what that's saying, because it's a whole lot into that, that those that are lukewarm, meaning that you don't know if you want to live right or live wrong, then you're, like they say, straddling the fence. And so you can easily be persuaded one way or the other. So you have to be careful in that persuasion, because you'll find yourself going to a, not only being reprobate, that's when you can't tell right from wrong, but you also you'll begin to see and endeavor in those things which you were once delivered from. But he'd rather you be hot, meaning you will make a mistake, but your mind and your spirit is to please the Lord in everything that you do. Because when you're hot, then he can utilize you as an effective witness. Cold, meaning you don't know the Lord, but you can easily be converted. Hot water can be used on a natural sense to purify things. Cold water is refreshing. But warm water cannot be used to purify anything, neither is it refreshing. So with those who are warm or lukewarm, as the scripture declares, then you are in this place to where you can easily be persuaded. And when the enemy comes and he presents a temptation in the book of James, then you will fall victim because you're stuck in that place of being lukewarm. So God said, I'd rather you be hot. I'd rather you be on fire, serving me with all of your heart, as much as you know how to do. Don't count the mistakes. I'll show you if you trust me. If you have confidence in me, I'll bring you to where you have to be. And if you don't know me, I'll expose my light to you so that you can. But if you look wrong, I'll just spew you out. And spew you out means that you will be out on the outskirts of his presence so that you can easily be moved by the wind of the world.
Amen. Brother Webb, thank you so much for sharing today. And we praise God for you. Thank you all for joining and listening in. Be blessed. Go with God on today. Amen.
Amen.
Follow, follow. With every
got up inside of your body, baby.